It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A table set for a festive holiday dinner, presents under a tree and a bow-lined hallway await visitors to Clayton, the historic home of Pittsburgh industrialist Henry Clay Frick. Decorative arts curator for the Frick, Dawn Reed, served as our tour guide for an early 20th century Christmas in Pittsburgh.
Christmas is always a very special time of year here at the Frick, and we really enjoy getting Clayton set up for the holidays. And this year's holiday installation focuses on dining and entertaining in the Gilded Age at the turn of the 20th century. So we've filled the house with greenery and flowers, and we've set the tables for an elaborate and lovely Christmas celebration in the dining room. Dining in the 19th century would have been an incredibly complex and formal affair. You could have had up to 9 courses at a meal, and it could have taken up to 2 hours to consume. And there would have been an absolute dizzying array of china, plates, silverware, and glassware all set on the table, because of course you needed a special plate and special flatware for every single one of those courses. So our dining room table installation gives our visitors a glimpse of what that would have looked like, what visitors to Clayton would have experienced had they come for Christmas dinner. And we do know that the Fricks had a 1 o'clock dinner on Christmas Day every Christmas, and they invited family and friends from out of town to join them. And although we don't know exactly what type of menu they served, we do have great archival sources that tell us the grocery receipts, the types of food that they were buying, the types of ingredients that they would have been using on the table. So we know that they were buying some really fine meats, roasts, poultry, exotic fruits, bananas, grapes, tangelos. A lot of those were coming into the house in the 1890s, as well as special chocolate candies and cakes. And in December of 1892, the Fricks were actually consuming about 8 pounds of butter a week, which is phenomenal. I'm not entirely sure what they were doing with all of that butter. I imagine they were doing some holiday baking, and they must have been throwing some really great parties that December. Our specific theme for this holiday season was really inspired by the current exhibition at the Frick Art Museum, which is Chris Antiman, Forbidden Fruit at Meissen. And Chris is a contemporary artist who is very interested in 18th century dining customs and porcelain, so he wanted to take that theme and set it in Clayton to have kind of an installation theme throughout the site so that visitors can enjoy the art museum as well as the house. It takes us approximately 3 days to decorate the mansion for the holidays. It goes up really quickly. It's a little bit like clockwork at this point. We have a great staff and crew who know this installation in and out. But that being said, no two Christmases are ever the same at Clayton. We always make particular changes because we want to encourage repeat visitors, and we want every visitor to have a new experience, whether they're coming for the first time, the second time, or the 10th time. So we put live greens in the foyer, and we also put a live Christmas tree and pine swagging on our enclosed porch, which is where the Claytons also put their Christmas tree. We have period photographs showing a 12-foot fir on the porch from about circa 1901, so we do something that looks very similar, and all of our Christmas decorating is really grounded in historical authenticity and integrity as to what the Fricks were doing for Christmas and also what period sources and contemporary families would have also been doing. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun going through period sources like women's magazines such as Godey's Ladies' Book and Ladies' Home Journal, searching for suggestions and recommendations for how one should decorate their home or set the table for the holidays. And we really used that as a cue. You see lots of evergreens throughout the house and lots of red berries. Our centerpiece this year on the table is a Minton's dining service, which is a ware called Parian, which is based on marble. So the idea that you could have these beautiful classical statues on your dining room table that could delight the eye while you are having this delicious dinner with your family. I encourage everyone to come out to visit Clayton for the holidays this year. It's a really spectacular showing. We've pulled out some of our best ceramics to create a beautiful dinner setting in the dining room, as well as decorating all of the house for the season. The entire site is decorated for Christmas as well, so visitors can come into the art museum and find Christmas trees. There are wreaths all throughout the buildings on site, as well as all over Clayton. And while our first floor installation really looks at that dining and entertaining theme, when you go upstairs to the second floor, we get more into the private family celebrations and how the Fricks celebrated as a family. We know that they had a dinner at 1 p.m. every day, but one of the really fascinating glimpses that we have is we have copies of Mrs. Frick's receipts and her shopping lists from the 1890s. So it's very fascinating to see her writing out her husband's name, her children's name, as well as their friends and neighbors and contemporaries, and writing down ideas for them for Christmas, and then maybe trying to tie those to things that still exist in the house and in the collection. And so we've pulled some of those out upstairs in the nursery. You'll see a toy kitchen set, which is one of the items that Mrs. Frick wrote down to buy for her daughter Helen in the 1890s, as well as a Kodak camera, which she bought for her son Childs as well. At the end of their holiday tour to Clayton, visitors will get to hear a sampling of Christmas music on the Frick's Orchestrion, which sits on the enclosed porch. And the Orchestrion is an automated musical instrument that weighs about 2 tons and can sound like a 9-piece orchestra playing all at once. And Frick purchased this in 1892, I believe, just for their new house and had it brought in. So we have the Christmas roll on as a special treat for our holiday guests.
That was Decorative Arts Curator Dawn Reed. During the holidays, the Frick will be open until 9 p.m. on Fridays. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It wouldn't be the holiday season without performances of the Nutcracker Ballet.
Hi, my name is Terrence S. Orr, and I'm the Artistic Director of Pittsburgh Ballet Theatre, and in the midst of putting together the Nutcracker, and it's a great experience every single year. We have about 170 dancers that we teach different parts to prepare for Nutcracker, and it's a job that takes about 2.5 months in preparing, and then when we get to the theatre, it's a whole new thing with adding lights and costumes and scenery to it. It's kind of fun to keep it fresh. I have all kinds of new ideas. Added a tree this year, changed the choreography to the Waltz of the Flowers, changed the choreography to the Marie and the Nephew, and all kinds of nuances. Added some magic. There's some real magic that goes on that's done by magicians on the stage. So there's always kind of different parts of the ballet that change, and it changes every single performance. We do 24 performances at the Benedum, and every single performance is cast differently, and so when a person goes out on stage, they may not see the same person they've ever seen before when they do this, so it makes them react a little differently and more alive as artists, and also as dancers they react to each other too, because technically one dancer might be a different kind of technique than another one. So Nutcracker is a very kind of organic and live experience for all of us to get ready for the wonderful holiday season. So I thought about this nutcracker for probably 3 to 5 years, and I decided that this nutcracker wasn't just going to be for little kids. It was going to be for the whole family, and not maybe all the time. It might be for my grandparents, might be for my parents, might be for my children. And they will all relate to this ballet in a different way. So I keep them enticed into the program all the way along. I do the same thing for people who know all about Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden they see the tartan on the stage and they realize that's Andrew Carnegie's tartan. Very few people will pick that up, but some people will. Some people will see the Heinz truck and they'll see that it's spelled without an H, because it wasn't legal to have an H back in those days, in 1904. To be able to see the Kaufman clock. You know, Kaufman's isn't there anymore. Macy's isn't even there anymore. But the clock is still there, and a clock is in our production. There's a Kaufman book that is read in the beginning in the ballet, and then it grows up to become an 8-foot book. So these books were given to the best customers at Kaufman's so that they would come back. And it was like a gift for them every year. And it was a book of Christmas stories. And so these Christmas stories are what Marie reads, and then she lives it later when she's in her dream, and or whether it was real. Because at the end of this ballet, you realize that this was really a happening. It wasn't just a dream, that this all happened.
Terrence S. Orr is the artistic director of the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater. Performances of The Nutcracker continue through December 27th at the Benedum Center. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.